wonderful church. I thank God for you. I thank God for the atmosphere that's in your house, in this house. And over the years, I've taught our church that just as it is in this house, so is it in my house. We do that when we go to take an offering. I'm every time I get to say, and it's been true over all these 34 years, that every bill is paid on time or ahead of time every time. And it's been exactly like that in our house at the church. And I say, just as it is in this house, so is it in my house. So today I want to talk to you about being blessed in your house. How many of you want to be blessed in your house? Let's just agree. Father, we thank you for this moment we have together. We thank you for the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit being in our midst. And I thank you that as we share the Word of God, it'll be Word of life. And it will work inside each of us. And when we walk out of here today, we'll all be able to say, this has been good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you that not only do we come and give something, but we receive something that when we leave, we can take it with us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about being blessed. It's something that's been on my heart for a few weeks. And then as I move along in this, there's a place at which the Lord gave me something specific to speak to you about for a few moments. But I want to start here in Psalm 1. The Psalms are such wonderful books, mainly written by David and different psalmists and so forth. But it's an enjoyable, and Jesus himself quoted from the Psalms. It's a beautiful thing. But the very first Psalm, verse 1, says, blessed is the man. That would mean person, all of us. Blessed is the human being. And it goes on to tell you the different things that cause us to be blessed. It starts out with things not to do and then tells us what things to do. But the point that I want to make first off today is God wants you blessed. I want you to point to yourself and say this. I want you to get this not just here, but in your spirit. God, my Heavenly Father, wants me blessed. He wants me blessed coming in. He wants me blessed going out. Hallelujah. He wants me blessed in the city. He wants me blessed in the field. He wants everything that I touch to be blessed, because my Heavenly Father wants to bless me. And my Heavenly Father wants to cause me to be a blessing to others. It's not all about me, but thank God it includes me, but it's also about others. I am blessed that I get to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Come on and say, I believe that with all of my heart. You see, there's secrets to being blessed. Secrets of the kingdom. It's important that as Christians, we come and find out the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom. Because we don't operate on the same system the world does. We have a kingdom mentality. The kingdom of God is what operates through us. And it's a whole different thing. The world says, store up everything you have. And the kingdom of God says, give it away. And it's just an opposite approach to life. And we build on truth, true news, not fake news. Can you say amen? I want you to say this. I want truth, not fake. I want the real. Hallelujah. How many of you really mean that? I want the real. I believe that everybody in this room does. And I want to commend you for being in the house of the Lord. It's very important that we assemble ourselves in the house of the Lord. Because the house of the Lord, the Apostle Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy, is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, some folks have the idea, well, I can just stay home and get everything I need. But you can't. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, so that you do it even more so. Forsake not the assembly, but to come together even more so as you see the day approaching. You see, the day approaching means that there's going to be all kinds of things out on the outside of the church that's going to try to steal the truth that's inside of the church. But you come in here because it's the pillar and the ground of the truth, and it's what will ground you in God, so that when you're on the outside, you have something on the inside that speaks to the evil that's on the outside. And when your friends are in trouble, you can say, let me pray for you. And you're so filled with what's on the inside that it comes out to bless the person on the outside. Hallelujah. Blessed is that person. Now, the Amplified says it like this: fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is this man, this person. It is so important that we understand God wants to bless us. You know, to believe something, you have to hear something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way you're going to believe it is to keep hearing it. Some people think, well, you just say it once. But if you took that approach, you'd only read the Bible once. You keep reading and getting in you and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God until something takes hold of you that you no longer doubt it. You couldn't doubt if you tried. I believe with every fiber of my being that God wants every single person in this room, men, women, boys, girls, everybody on the grounds, everybody extended outside of you. He wants you blessed. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. I'm not talking about big homes with 8 pillars in the front yard and Rolls Royces in the driveway. That is not what I'm talking about. Rich to me means a successful journey through life. God wants you successful. He wants you successful at whatever you put your hand to. Whatever God has called you to do, He wants you to be successful at it. That's exactly what prosperity is all about, a good journey through life. How many of you can say, I want a good journey through life? How many of you can say, I want my children to have a good journey through life? Hallelujah. Your grandchildren, whatever the case may be, you want them to have a good journey through life. Well, that's what God says about you. I want you to have a good, successful journey through life. Whatever it is that you do. You see, we should not ever think what we do is not important. Because if God has called you to something, whether it's in the secular world or the spiritual world or the combination of both, He will grace you for what He's called you to. Hallelujah. He makes it work. He fits you for the task. Glory to God. There's things I did 20 years ago that God graced me to do that I can't imagine having to do today. Amen. But He graced me for that season. Aren't you glad for that? How many of you have had God take you in certain seasons? During that season, you were graced, but when the grace lifted, the season was over. You just know that. Pay attention to the season. Psalm tells us this, 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you, or cause you to have, the desires of your heart. I pay a lot of attention in my life to my desires. As I seek the Lord, delight myself in the Lord, He impregnates me with His desires. I remember years ago, I was reading, and this was before I was ever in ministry. I was a young businessman, and I was reading the Psalms, and I read that about how God wanted to grant me the desires of my heart. And why? I've never had this happen before or since. It was one time only that it happened to me. But while I was reading that book, reading the Psalms, all of a sudden I saw stand right up on the page in 3D form the word give. Give. He says, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you. In other words, the desires you have came from Him. He will give you, not just give you what you desire, but He'll give you what you need to desire so that He can give that to you. Can you say amen? And then when He gives you that desire, He graces you to go forward in that desire so that everything He's planned for your life will come to full fruition. Hallelujah. Everything. He wants your family blessed. He wants your body blessed. He wants your finances blessed. God wants everything to do with your life blessed. He wants to put you over and not under, up and not under. He cares about you. He cares affectionately for you. He's for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. When things look impossible, my Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. So all I need is faith in God that I can turn the situation around. Jesus comes along. He says, if things aren't what you want them to be, speak to them. If the enemy's coming at you, speak to that mountain. Use your voice and speak to the mountain that's coming against you. Hallelujah. Speak to it. If you're here this morning and there's something not going on in your life that you feel like God is wanting to go on in your life and the enemy's trying to steal from you, I want you to get in your spirit. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to speak to this mountain. Jesus came up on a fig tree. He's on his way into Jerusalem. He's coming in there into Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go set some things in order. The temple at the time was not bearing fruit. He comes up to a fruit tree, or fig tree, and it's not bearing any figs. He walks up to it. It looked great on the outside. It had leaves everywhere like the temple. It looked great on the outside, but he walks up to it, and there's no fruit on it. There's no figs. And he looks at that, and he curses the fig tree. No figs will ever be on you again from this time forth. People didn't understand it. He's getting ready to go into the temple. He's getting ready to turn over the money, the money changers and run them out of the temple and all the things that were going on. And he's speaking symbolically to that fig tree, but about the temple. He goes into the temple the next day. He finds all the stuff going on. All the junk, all of the money changing, all the stuff that ought not be going on in God's house. He gets spiritual zeal. He turns over the money tables and he comes out. And the next morning as they're going by, he sees the fig tree and the disciples noticed it. They said, Master, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday. See, yesterday they couldn't tell any difference. Yesterday when Jesus spoke to it and cursed it, they couldn't tell any difference. It looked exactly the same. It was lush. The leaves were lush. Everything looked fantastic. But Jesus had spoken against it. And the next day when they came by, what Jesus said yesterday was manifest today because now it had withered. Hallelujah. And that's what happens. You may speak to the mountain. It may look as alive as it did yesterday, but soon it's going to shrivel. Soon it's going to dry up. Soon that thing that's coming against you is going to turn around. God is going to make a way for you where there seems to be no way. Because you're blessed. I want you to say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed of the Lord. Coming in. I'm blessed of the Lord. Going out. So Jesus comes along and he says, I want to teach you two things about prayer. Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Here's what he says. The disciples look at him. The fig tree's withered. Lord, how in the world did you do that? How did that happen? You spoke to that tree and look, it's withered up from its roots. And Jesus comes along. He's going to give them the whole secret to how it happened. And he's going to teach them two principles about faith. He said, verse 22, this is how I did it. Have faith in God. In other words, I didn't do it any other way except faith in God. That's how I spoke to the fig tree, was with faith in God. And then he says, for whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Come on and point to yourself and say, I can have whatever I say. Hallelujah. When the mountain's in the way and I want it to move, I can see it move by what I say. So when it's the enemy, now I want you to get this. This is so important. When it's the enemy, you speak to it. You're not praying. You've already prayed. You're full of God. You're full of the word. You're full of the Spirit. A mountain is in your way. You don't need to pray about it. Jesus said, there's a mountain. I want you to speak to that mountain in my name. Up until now, you've not used my name, but from now on, I want you to use my name. Speak to that mountain in my name. So there's two kinds of faith. One is when you're speaking against the enemy in faith, faith in God, and then when you need God to do something for you, something you desire, you pray. That's what he said. Speak to the mountain. Therefore, I say unto you, verse 24, when you pray. In other words, the same principle that you just used against the mountain is the same principle you're going to use when you pray to the Father. Now to the Father, I'm going to ask him what it is that I need so that I can have a prosperous journey in life. If it's something in my business, if it's something in my home, if it's something in my children, if it's something in my body, if it's from the enemy, I'm going to speak to it. And if it's something I need my Heavenly Father to do for me, I'm going to pray to him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give praise to that name. Using your faith two ways, one against the enemy and the other in faith towards God. And that's when you pray and humble yourself under the hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Can you say amen? Say out loud, this is about being blessed. Today is about being blessed. God brought me here to give me a word that'll cause me to be blessed. Hallelujah. And then say this, I'm going to hear the word. And I'm going to do the word. You see, I can speak the word of God to you or anybody else. Pastor Steve can do it, or whoever it is that he has speaking and signed to speak here. They can speak the word to you, and you can hear it, and you can agree to it and go right out and rejoice in what you heard. But until you practice it, until you operate in it, what he said won't do you a bit of good. It gives you faith, but faith dormant, lying dormant, won't do you any good. It has to be activated. It's activated through your words. Hallelujah. It's activated through your speaking against, and it's activated towards your praying for. Hallelujah. We need to do both to be a blessed man. And so this is why I wanted to come along today and remind you that God wants you to have a successful journey through life. Hallelujah. I want you to say one more time, I want to be blessed of God, coming in and going out. So important. And of course, we know 3 John 2, beloved, I wish, or I pray above everything. Now here is a man that had walked with Jesus 3 years in his earthly ministry, John, the one he leaned back on and loved dearly, who is speaking about God, and he says, beloved, he's talking to a friend, Gaius. He's speaking to him and he says, beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, some people give us a hard time for believing God wants to prosper us. I do think the message of faith sometimes is taken to an extreme outside of the parameters where God wanted it spoken. But in your everyday life, he wants to bring you up. I don't care where you are, he wants you to go higher. He doesn't want you to settle into where you are. He says, I want you to take a step up. If your body's doing okay, but it's not quite where you want it to be, he wants you to step up in your health. Can you say amen? If your family situation's not going the way it should be going, he wants the situation in your family to change. You know, there's been times in my household, I have sensed the enemy come in like a flood. Have you ever had that happen to you? Come on, let me see a hand if you've ever had it happen to you. I mean, like one morning, everything's great. Everybody's happy. Everybody's doing good. And the next day, looks like all hell has walked in your house. I want you sometimes to symbolically go to your door, open the door, and say, get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, try that with your leg right now. Come on, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Come on, let your foot move. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. You see, we put up with a lot of things we don't have to put up with. How many of you know that? Why don't you point to somebody and say, you stop putting up all that stuff. Stop being a mouthpiece for the devil. No, we better not say that. You know what's funny? If you saw my notes today, all that portion's not in there. Why? Because I believe in the utterance of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, and this is how you need to pray for your pastor. Listen to me. You need to pray for your pastor. If you pray for him, you will love him. If you pray for him, you will strengthen him. If you pray for him, he will have words that he can speak that'll bless your life. If you'll pray for him, something will happen supernaturally inside of you. Paul said this. He wasn't being selfish. He's talking about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then he goes on and says, verse 19, and for me. Paul wasn't praying selfishly. This is how I want you to pray for me, he said. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make and show the mysteries of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to come in our services and to be upon our speaker, because it's important that utterance be given to them, because I can tell you there's a big difference between utterance given to you and just utterance you're giving. I love the utterance to flow through me. I love God to have a word, and he uses my mouth to speak his word through the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. When that happens, you become all of a sudden exploding on the inside. Something on the inside begins to work on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Can you say amen? And this is what this is all about. This is 100% is what this is all about. How you can be blessed to be a blessing. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny little story along another line. This is how not to be blessed. Some people think if you've charged up your charge card. Nobody can see the charge card. They just see all the fruit of it. I'm having trouble making my payments. I'm having trouble all this stuff. Hear me a minute. They look at you on the outside and they say, hey, that guy's really doing well. But if they saw your credit card bill, they'd think you're not doing so well. Well, it reminds me of a story. That's the reason I want to tell you about this. There's a young guy, young kids, these two young kids were in Kid Zone years ago when my wife, B, was doing kids. She did kids for over 20 years and did an amazing job building our church through the kids ministry. And these two kids came up one day. I think they're about 9 years old, these boys, 1 8 and 1 9, something like that. And they said, Miss B said, pray for us. She said, what for? She said, since we put in that swimming pool, we don't have two nickels to rub together. You see, false stuff is not what you need. You need your debts paid off. You need things different. You need to have an easy life. You don't need to be strained all the time and struggling all the time. And it doesn't matter what it looks like to somebody out here. It's what's going on in your house that's important. Can you say amen? So I want to get you out of this into this. The blessing of the Lord gives full supply. What is the blessing of the Lord? I have a full supply. Yes, I have bills, but I can cover my bills. Yes, I have circumstances, but I can cover those. In other words, I'm not under something. I'm over top of something. And praise God. You know, I believe that with every fiber. God wants to bring you into a successful place to where you can live like that and you don't feel strained all the time. How many of you believe God wants that of you? Lift your hands right now and just thank him for that. Say, Lord, I want to reach a place. Now, you may already be there, so just thank God for that. But say, Father, I want to reach a place where I'm not under a strain all the time. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be struggling. I want to be able to help others, not just surviving myself. I thank you for more than enough. I want you to say out loud, he's more than enough. Come on, Father, you're more than enough. You are El Shaddai. You are the God of plenty. You are the God who's more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. Come on, shout it out to him. More than enough. More than enough. So much more than enough. Hallelujah. We end up in all this crazy theology, and that's not even what God wants. He just wants you to get a hold of his word, live a holy life, walk upright, live in a place he can bless you. Hallelujah. Don't give yourself to sin. Don't give yourself to impurity. Live a pure, clean, upright life. Love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then let him bless your socks off. Hallelujah. Come on and give him praise. Hallelujah. I want to sing that. Pastor Steve, would you lead it? He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He is El Shaddai.
He is El Shaddai.
The God of plenty.
The God of all plenty.
The all-sufficient one.
He's all-sufficient one.
He's Lord God.
Lord God Almighty.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You're
more than enough.
Come on, could we sing that together?
You're more than enough.
You are
so much more than enough. You are El Shaddai, the God of all plenty.
You're the all-sufficient.
The all-sufficient one.
Come on, lift your hands and get that in
your spirit. Oh, your God Almighty Jesus. You're more than enough.
As your hands are held up, I'm aware in my heart this morning that some of you walked in this room and you really don't know what you're going to do. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to do right here as a man of God this morning. You're going to believe God in your life is more than enough. Ah, thank you, Lord. Komoro Sepreya. Go ahead and give him praise. Go ahead right where you sit and give him praise. And then I want to take you to something I felt the Lord put on my heart, because if I go too much further, I'm going to miss this. This is very important to you in this house, because it's been stirring in me when I was coming up here to share this with you for a moment. I'm having to pass a lot of things to get to this, but this is so important. I want you to become a vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. If you want to walk in the blessing of God, become a vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to his son Timothy in the faith in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. He said, in a great house. I want you to say, this is a great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Now notice, some for honor and some for dishonor. I believe that everybody in this room can say truthfully, I want to be a vessel of honor. Lift your hand and say, would you do that? Would you just be kind enough to do that? Just lift your right hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to be, I want to become a vessel of honor in this house. This is where you've planted me. This is where I want to serve you. In this house, representing outside of this house, I want to be a vessel of honor. It's interesting, when I grew up, how freely people would talk about their pastor. Now, I've pastored for 34 years, and I've been treated extremely well, as I'm sure Pastor Steve has, and I thank God for that. But I've known men of God who were not treated like that, who were not treated kindly. And I felt for them. I remember just being a young boy. A pastor got voted out in our church. People were kind of rising up against him, and back then their system was voting. First of all, there's no scripture for that. I mean, the laymen aren't supposed to make those decisions. They're to be appointed by people that are apostles and prophets. And anyhow, we won't get into our church government. But they voted back then on preachers. And they voted my pastor out. I was a young man. I didn't understand it. I loved him. I thought he was a great man. I didn't know why the people were doing this. And I remember coming home and asking my mother. I said, Mama, I called her Mama. Mama, have you ever voted against a man of God or a preacher? She said, why no, son. The Bible says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You see, in the great house of God, he appoints leaders. And we honor those leaders, just like we're supposed. You may not like the President of the United States, but you honor the office, whether you like the President or not. It's not about the person. It's about the office. It's the same way in a policeman. You may not like a particular policeman, but you honor the fact that he's wearing a badge. It's in the house of the Lord. There's a badge of pastor right there, and you're supposed to honor that badge. Can you say amen? And so we can't just say anything we feel and throw out anything we feel. You've got to understand, don't touch God's anointed. If God has appointed somebody, don't you touch them. So I don't know why. I just felt in my heart to share for a few minutes about being a vessel of honor. I just want you to turn your hand this way, like turn it up, and just say, Father, in your house, for this is your house, this is not a perfect house, it has imperfections, but it is your house, and there's vessels of honor in this house, and I want to be one of those. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor in this house. And then, on top of that, it's a vessel with a good attitude. How many of you know your attitude determines your altitude? How many of you know that? If you got a bad attitude all the time, you're not going far in life. A lot of people are wondering, I've been praying, why hasn't God been doing what I've been praying about? Because He can't. He can't override your attitude. You got to get a good attitude to get altitude. Can you say amen? It's just a thought. I know we're not shouting as much now, but this is something I had by the Spirit to deliver to you. And then I want to talk to you for a moment. If you're in a house of honor, be a generous person. You see, Proverbs, I love Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 starts out by saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, this is going to be a person of a vessel of honor. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not do evil, but do good. It is health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, notice verse 9 says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. See, when you bring something to the house, you're not just honoring the people in the house. You're honoring the Lord. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, with your possessions, and the first fruits, listen to this, of all your increase. For then He will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now let's go back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in His word he will meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can be a person that's blessed, and you can honor the house of the Lord, and you can walk upright, and God is going to bless your socks off. And you say, yeah, but you don't understand. I've had years of sowing the other stuff. Well, believe God for a crop failure, turn it around, and say, from the day forward, I'm going to be a vessel of honor. I'm not going to be clay and stubble and wood. I'm going to be gold in the house of the Lord, because gold represents being pure. Can you say amen? Come on and lift your hands and give Him praise and give Him thanks, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Tonight we're going to learn how to pray around some of these things, and I hope you can come pray with us. It'll be a wonderful night. Pastor Steve, would you come? God bless you guys. I so love being with you this morning. Amen.